السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. This is Dr. Ali Zini, your teacher in the Weekend Islamic School. And today we're going to be learning about, it's the Islamic Studies class, we'll be learning about the concept of fitna. Why are we being tested? Fitna is testing and trials. Why we're being tested? What's the wisdom of fitna and trials for the believers and non-believers as well? There's a recommended lecture by Dr. Yasser Qadi, if anybody would like to listen to it. It's about the same subject. And we have introductory videos.
أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون.
Then finally, about this ayah in regards to this dunya and the next. In this dunya, there is no loss for the believer. They can't lose. You know, the believers were addressing the hypocrites and they said to them, I believe this is in Surah At-Tawbah, هَلْ تَرَبَّصُونَ بِنَا إِلَّا إِحْدَى الْحُسْنَيَيْنِ. Are you waiting or procrastinating in our case? And we're only going to end up in one of two beautiful things. Husnayain, two beautiful things. One, we lose in battle, we die and we go to paradise, we still win. Or we win in this life and Allah gives us reward in the next life. In other words, the Muslim can't lose. It's only a win-win situation for the believer. So much so as something that everybody gets sad about. You know, when people get sick, you become very sad for them. And it's a very difficult thing for families to cope with and things like that. But from an iman point of view, from a faith point of view, when the messenger is brought, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, someone who's sick, what does he say to them? La ba's. The first things he says, la ba's, no problem. That's the first thing he tells them. It's a strange thing to say to someone who's sick. He says, la ba's. Then he says, tahoor insha'Allah. It is a purifier by Allah's will. In other words, the longer you are sick, all of your previous sins are being paid for. And when you end up in front of Allah on Judgment Day, and you, instead of complaining, Ya Allah, why did you keep me sick for so long? I was, you know, I had diabetes, I had cancer, I had, you know, I had really bad allergies, this and that. On the Day of Judgment, you will thank Allah for that sickness. Because each second of that sickness was getting rid of you, rid from you these sins. And you come before Allah purified, subhanAllah. So the person is going through affliction in this world, but even this is not sadness for them. Allah Azza wa Jalla even makes that a place of joy. You know, this is the power of this deen. لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. And nobody outside of this deen can enjoy this kind of tranquility and peace. There are two very difficult trials in this dunya. Very difficult trials. They're very hard to pass. You know what those two trials are? One of those trials is extreme difficulty. Like a calamity, like a flood and an earthquake, or, you know, serious famine and poverty and hunger and, you know, violence and things like these are serious trials, very difficult. You can lose your faith in that kind of a trial. That's one kind of problem that can test your faith. Here's the second, extreme luxury. When everything is easy, you open the fridge and you have all kinds of drinks, all kinds of food in front of you, right? All kinds of luxuries are before you. You know what happens when you have too much luxury? You start taking it for granted. And when you take it for granted, then you stop being grateful. So when one thing is missing from the menu, you start becoming angry. Or one thing is less than what you were expecting, then you get upset. You know, you can go to a 3-star hotel and then say, man, I should have been in a 3.5-star. You know, you start thinking, what more can I have? You stop being grateful for what you have, and this is a loss of faith also. So some people in this dunya are right now being tested with difficulty. And others, don't think we're not being tested. We may be tested with luxury. We may be tested with ease. Kings, I know there are parts in the Muslim world where like children have meat on the table on Eid day. And they get one piece of meat. And this is like, on Eid I had, you know what I had? I had a leg of chicken. And they're amazed by it. And how much food we throw leftovers and things like that. We're not grateful people. He mentions following guidance as an individual thing. You know why? Because sometimes following guidance means you have to be alone. following misguidance, everybody can do it, and they'll do it in a herd. And when you want to follow guidance, you have to stand away from the herd. It's like swimming upstream. You'll be the only one sometimes. You might be the only one in your family who's trying to stick to Allah's deen. Everybody else is going in the opposite direction. Look at the messengers. When they start their missions, alayhi salatu wasalam, all by themselves. And the people who follow them, the loners in their families. The whole family, you know, goes against them. So following this deen and following its guidance has to be a very personal, brave initiative. But then the gift of Allah, لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. When you do follow Allah's guidance, He gives you a new company. He gives you company of believers. So the rest of the ayah is plural. In this dunya, you get the company of believers. And in the akhirah also, لَنُدْخِلَنَّهُمْ فِي الصَّالِحِينَ. We will enter them into the company of the righteous. May Allah give us that company in dunya and in akhirah.
Okay, and why Allah is testing us?
This does not commit bad deeds. Who amongst us is sinless? وَإِنَّا لَمَجْزِيُونَ بِكُلِّ سُوءٍ عَمِلْنَاهُ. And Allah is really going to punish us and compensate us for each and every single sin that we've committed. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Amma anta ya Abu Bakr wa ashabuka al-mu'minun." As for you, O Abu Bakr, and your companions, the believers, he said that you would face the punishment, or you would face the compensation for those sins in this world, in this dunya, until you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely free of sins. And he says, as for the others, the wicked, they would, you know, all of those sins and those bad deeds would be committed until, would be collected until they meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with all of their sins to be repaid and you know, to be punished for on the Day of Judgment. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu something very powerful, and this is a concept in our faith. It's very important to note, Rasulullah ﷺ said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will try the believer in his health and in his wealth and in everything that he has until he completely purifies him from sin, so that he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with nothing on his record. Every sickness, every anxiety, everything will come to you, and it will be a means of purification, a source of purification for you. So use that to bring you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Embrace the hardships and the trials Allah sends your way, so that hopefully, you know, you face the consequences of that in this world and not in the hereafter.
Okay. So, what is the word fitna? The linguistic meaning of the word fitna: it is to expose the gold to a very high temperature to separate the gold from other cheap material mixed with it. So that is, the goldsmith is called fatan. He's the one that does fitna to the gold. Okay. Now, somebody says, okay, fitna also means a test or a trial. Okay. Okay. Not only, some people say, I don't want to be tested. I don't want to be tested. I'm just refuse to be tested in this line, you know. But unfortunately, they are not saying the truth, because we, not only that we want to be tested, but we are also looking for harder tests. For example, dead people are not tested. We want to be alive. We don't want to be dead. And we want to be tested if we're living. And we want to have a long life, which is a harder test, because it's a longer test. And another example is that the people who don't have freedom are not tested. But we want to be free, and we want more freedom, which is a harder test. The sun, the moon are not being tested because they are not free. Okay? We are free. If we want freedom, then we want to be tested. We want more freedom means you want a harder test. Because with freedom comes responsibility. More freedoms comes with more responsibilities. poor people have much less test than rich people. Okay, so we want to be wealthy. So that means that we want to be tested. And we want to increase our wealth, which is a harder test. We wanted the test to be harder. Powerless people are not being tested, or almost not being tested. But powerful people are being tested. And we want power. And because we want power, we want to be tested. And we want more power, which is a harder test. With power comes responsibilities. Because with power, power increases the source, the circle of influence. And let's say President Biden's circle of influence is the whole world. My circle of influence is my immediate family and close friends. And the governor, if circle of influence is like the state and the millions of people who live in it. And the president, circle of influence is the entire world and the entire population of Earth. So with more power, you have more responsibility because your decisions and choices are going to affect millions and millions of people. Now, you might say, okay, now I know that I'm being tested, whether I like it or not, whether I want it or not, I'm being tested. And actually, I'm asking to be tested, and actually I'm asking for a harder test. But why are these tests? Let's hear from Surah Al-Ankabut what Allah is saying about the people who claim to be believers, but they are not believers. They are not truly believers. So Allah is saying, I'm going to be testing them to show the truth about them by real life tests that is going to make them demonstrate who they are. The stingy will demonstrate his stinginess. The cheater will demonstrate his cheat and his dishonesty. Everybody will prove who is himself or herself, would show and prove because of these tests and fitness that he goes through. We all know how to say La ilaha illallah. We all know how to say Surah Al-Fatiha. But who is a truly believer? He's a truly believer. That comes through the test.
Do men imagine that they will be left? At ease because they say we believe. Believe and will not be tested with affliction? Lo, we tested those who were before you. Thus Allah knoweth those who are sincere and knoweth those who feign. Or do those who do ill deeds imagine that they can outstrip us? Evil for them is that which they decide.
من كان يرجو لقاء
So basically, people will not be left to claim that they are believers without being tested.
Do men imagine that they will be left at ease because they say, we believe and will not be tested with affliction?
See, Allah is asking a question about those people who think, have ridiculous thinking that they will just be left without being tested. So the second reason, the third reason, another reason for Allah to test people is to identify those who worship Allah on the edge. What do you mean by worship Allah on the edge? The verse explains to us.
And among mankind is he who worshipeth Allah upon a narrow marge, so that if good befalleth him, he is content therewith. But if a trial befalleth him, he falleth away utterly. He loseth both the world and the hereafter. That is the sheer loss.
So basically, a guy who becomes a Muslim, if things are going well, family is well, health is well, wealth is well, then he says, okay, Islam is good, and he stays as a Muslim or as a believer. And then if things start going bad, famine, famine, families not doing well, health, poverty, you know, then he quits. He quits. That's why we say he worships Allah on the edge. So good things happen, he switches to the side of believers. Bad things happen, he switches to the side of non-believers. Okay? Now, you might ask me a question. Does Allah like evil that results from tests? No. Allah doesn't like the evil that results into tests. But Allah loves what the good that comes out of the evil. Because if there is no evil, there is no good. In order for good to exist, evil have to exist. Otherwise, it's just going to be nothing. No good, no evil. Okay? So Allah allows evil to exist. Okay? So that Allah loves the way we battle evil, to combat evil, to defeat evil, to fight evil. This is what Allah likes. Okay? But Allah does not like fasad. Allah doesn't like evil. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah is stating that.
And when he turneth away from thee, his effort in the land is to make mischief therein, and to destroy the crops and the cattle. And Allah loveth not mischief.
So Allah doesn't love mischief or evil. Okay? Allah doesn't like it. People have different level of faith. How to sort them? By fitness. Tests are going to show you who is better than who. It's going to show. People, also another reason for tests is raising the ranks, purifications. Just like the video we saw, that these punishments, tests and suffering is a purification from the sins. So when the believer meets Allah, he meets Allah clean because of the suffering that he has been through. Now, a fitna could be a purification, which is a raising of rank, could be a relief or could be a curse. How do we know if the fitna is a relief or a curse? Or if the fitna, in other words, how do we know if the fitna is intended to raise your ranks or the fitna is intended to punish you? How do we know that? If we pass the test, we know that by looking at the results. If we pass the test, then it is a blessing from Allah. Then it is to raise your ranks. But if you flunk the test, okay, then Allah, that's a punishment from Allah. Allah intends to punish you if you flunk the test. And for example, if Allah wants it to be a blessing, if a person is a fifth grade, if the person is at fourth grade, Allah gives him a fifth grade test, then this is Allah is intending to raise his rank from fourth grade to fifth grade. Okay? Okay. But if a student at fourth grade and you give him 12th grade test, then that person would definitely flunk. And that's what Allah does if he wants to punish people. He gives them a test, a fitna, that's much higher than their level. So they flunk, and then they would be liable. Okay? Also, another reason for Allah to test us is because he wants to hear our prayers for him. We cry for him and say, if you're tested, you're asking for relief. You say, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. You might not making enough dua. You might be making little dua because things are going well. So you kind of forget about doing dua, supplication to Allah. And Allah loves you and he wants to hear your voice in praying, making dua to him. So he gives you a test, a fitna, a calamity. So now you raise your hands to Allah and you say, Ya Allah, relieve me. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, give me. Ya Allah, don't deprive me. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Okay? So now Allah is hearing your voice asking and begging of him. So Allah might send you a fitna because he wants to hear your voice praying to him. Also, Allah sends people to hell. If there is no fitna, then there will be no evidence against them. So the people who deserve to go to hell, they can't, Allah will not send them to hell unless Allah has evidence against them. And this evidence will result on the fitnas that they go through. If they pass the fitnas, then they prove that they deserve Jannah. If they flunk the fitness and or the test, then that they prove that they deserved hell. So Allah makes people live, gives them fitna to show the truth about themselves. Allah is not going to give an F grade to anybody without a test. So there has to be a test, and people are graded, okay? And the people are going to get F, go to hell. Another reason for test is the love of Allah. It's a sign of a love of Allah. Prophets, the ones who Allah loves, he tests them. He subjects them to fitna. Prophet have the hardest fitna. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the people who have hardest tests, which is hardest fitness, are the prophets. Then the righteous. Then the less righteous. Then the less righteous. So the best have harder tests than the less. Okay. What are the types of fitna? First of all, testing us against each other. As Allah said in the Surah Al-Furqan, all this hangs. Okay. Surah Al-Furqan, Surah 25, verse 20, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He's testing us against each other. The poor is tested by the rich. The rich is tested by the poor. The poor is tested by the rich if that poor person is going to envy or not. And the rich is tested by the poor if that rich person is going to give zakah or charity to the poor or not. The powerful is a test to the powerless. And the powerless is a test to the powerful. Ruler is a test to ruled people. And ruled people is a test to rulers. Men are a test to women, and women are a test to men. So we have tests on different levels. Tests on level of individual, community, national, and international tests. When international fitness or tests would lead people to fight with each other, with the source of war, it motivates wars against people against one another. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, every nation has a test. The test of my ummah is in money, wealth. Okay? And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said that when the money came from Bahrain, he said, and people started competing into getting it, he said, I am not worried about you being poor. I worry about that Allah is going to open the doors of wealth in you, and you're going to go into rat race for the money, or race for the money. You will be destroyed then. You will be destroyed then if you race and why? Because race for the money. Why? Because money corrupts. And let's hear the story of Qarun and how money corrupted him.
Now Korah was of Moses' folk, but he oppressed them, and we gave him so much treasure that the stores thereof would verily have been a burden for a troop of mighty men. When his own folk said unto him, exult not, lo, Allah loveth not the exultant, but seek the abode of the hereafter in that which Allah hath given thee, and neglect not thy portion of the world, and be thou kind, even as Allah hath been kind to thee, and seek not corruption in the earth. Lo, Allah loveth not corruptors. He said, I have been given it only on account of knowledge I possess. Knew he not that Allah had destroyed already of the generations before him men who were mightier than him in strength and greater in respect of following? The guilty are not questioned of their sins. Then went he forth before his people in his pomp. Those who were desirous of the life of the world said, Ah, would that we had the like of what had been given unto Korah. Lo, he is lord of rare good fortune. But those who had been given knowledge said, Woe unto you! The reward of Allah for him who believeth and doth right is better, and only the steadfast will obtain it. So we caused the earth to swallow him and his dwelling place. Then he had no host to help him against Allah, nor was he of those who can save themselves. And mourning found those who had coveted his place but yesterday, crying, Ah, well-a-day! Allah enlargeth the provision for whom He will of His slaves, and straighteneth it for whom He will. If Allah had not been gracious unto us, He would have caused it to swallow us also. Ah, well-a-day! The disbelievers never prosper.
So basically, that's the story of Qarun. He was a Jew, was a rich Jew at the time of Musa, and he owned room. He owned so much money, so much wealth that the rooms that store his wealth have keys, right? When you add these keys all in one chain, a group of very strong, mighty people, mighty young, mighty people, wouldn't be able to lift them. That's how much money he has. And he was told to use the wealth for the doing righteous deeds and enjoy at the same time. But he didn't. He said, this is my wealth. I've earned that wealth because I'm smart. Allah did not do me any favor. That's my I'm the one who gets the credit. And he continued to use his money the wrong way. So, and then when he goes up, when he goes out, the people see the luxury he has. He goes out and parades. So people say, we wish that we have what Qarun has. Okay, so now, later, Allah made the earth swallow Qarun. Qarun and his house. The earth swallowed both of them. So now the people who was wishing to be like him, they started regretting it and saying, oh, alhamdulillah, we are not like him. When they asked to be, when they prayed for Allah to make them like him, the people with knowledge, the righteous people with knowledge told them, you are making the wrong choices. Okay, the blessed ones are the ones who do good deeds and go to Jannah, but not the ones who have wealth. But they insisted, okay. Now, the test of the children of Israel were women, okay. They were not wealth as much as it's women wealth. There is a test of submission, type of test of submission. Islam with a small I. Islam with a small I is Islam, which is a verb that represents the Islam of all the prophets and messengers of Allah, which means submission to Allah. Islam capital I is the Islam, is a noun, is the Islam of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is praying five times a day, paying a charity, obligatory charity, fasting Ramadan, going for Hajj, all of these things, being zakah, all of these things. Is the Islam, specific Islam of Prophet Muhammad, which is Islam is capital I. Islam provides a test of submission through a list of do's and don'ts. So if you abide by this list, then you win the test. Okay, so that's another kind of test. Social media is a test, is a fitna. Video games are fitness, also tests. because they waste a lot of time. Social media brings envy, and you see, you read, everybody's happy on the Facebook, publishing good news. You are the only miserable one. Get depression. It's full of lies, slanders, and things that are not good. So spending too much time on the social media. So if you are able to avoid these bad things in the social media, then the social media is a blessing. Video games, as long as you play reasonably, you don't waste your entire life. You don't waste a long part of your day playing, then you are okay. Fitna of being a celebrity. You become arrogant. You look down to people. You think of yourself higher than people. To be celebrity and humble yourself, that's the way to go. But to be celebrity and you become arrogant and boasting, then you have flunked the test. That Allah tests us with good things and bad things. Don't you think that only bad things like sickness and poverty are the tests, the only tests? No, there are tests of wealth, being wealthy and being healthy. That's a test. Allah says, I test you with good things and bad things.
Every soul must taste of death, and we try you with evil and with good for ordeal, and unto us ye will be returned. And
so Allah saying will test you both ways and see how well you do. Okay, wealth, test of wealth. You might feel that this wealth is yours, is not. Because you're smart is not a gift or a blessing from Allah. You might use the wealth to become the wealth might corrupt you and make you spoiled rich elite. And the wealth is a test. Poverty is also a test to cause hardships to see if you're going to survive the test and become patient or not. Okay. Sulaiman, Prophet Sulaiman, was tested by the horses, that it was time for the prayer. He missed the prayer time because of his horses. So he punished himself by killing his horses.
When there were shown to him at eventide light-footed coursers, and he said, Lo, I have preferred the good things of the world to the remembrance of my Lord, till they were taken out of sight behind the curtain. Then he said, Bring them back to me, and fell to slashing with his sword their legs and necks.
So his wealth kept him, distracted him from the worship of Allah, and he got extremely angry. Extremely angry. And the worst kind of fitna ever that will ever happen on the face of the earth is the fitna of the Dajjal, the false deceiving Messiah. He happens at the end of the time, before near the day of judgment. But it exists all the times in a less serious fashion. Fitnas exist all the time with a less serious fashion. But other fitna exist in a less serious fashion. But the fitna of Dajjal is a big fitna. It's a big test. If you believe in the Dajjal, you disbelieve in Allah. And he's going to grant you life. He's going to give you good life. He owns all wealth and good things. And he will give it only to the ones who disbelieve in Allah and believe into him. People under this pressure, people are going to quit, become disbelievers, follow him just because they want the pleasures of this life and the pleasures he has in his hand. People who don't follow him, they become extremely poor, have nothing, have no supplies or anything like that, and they suffer. So that's why it says that the hardest test. An example of this test is the people of this kind of test are people in Surah Al-Buruj, the believers, when the bad evil king wanted them to quit the religion and quit worshiping Allah and worship him in a state, he will bring them one by one in front of the fire, and he will ask them, he will test them and say, okay, which is your God? Which God do you believe in? The God in heaven or me? They would say the God in heaven. He pushes them to the fire. He says, you, they save them and spare them from death. And he did that to all the believers, okay, to all the people who believed, to the level that there was a woman with four children. They took her first and they said, do you quit? And they tested her. Do you believe in the king? She said, no. They pushed the first one, second one, third one, fourth one. And then there was a baby in between her arms, the fifth baby. And the fifth child was a baby. And then she, when they about to take her from her hand, take him from her hand and throw him in hell, in the fire, in the trench that is full of fire, she hesitated a little bit. So the child, the baby, talked to her and he said, oh, mama, be steadfast. You are following the truth. And this baby is one of the three babies who talked to when they were young. The second one was Prophet Isa alayhi salam. Okay. Fear, hunger, short of supporters, shortage of food, and calamities. These are different kinds of tests. And Allah gives good news to the ones who survive this test.
And surely we shall try you with something of fear and hunger and loss of wealth and lives and crops, but give glad tidings to the steadfast, who say, when a misfortune striketh them, lo, we are Allah's, and lo, unto Him we are returning. Such are they on whom are blessings from their Lord and mercy. Such are the rightly guided.
So the rightly guided people who say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, we are going back to Allah, we belong to Allah and we're going back to Him. So that was their response. The results of the fitna, either it beautifies the heart or makes us stronger. But the ones who fail the test, which is accepted the fitna, their heart will turn into evil state. So the Prophet Muhammad said, with every test you flunk, there's a dark dot in your heart. And then people, if you pass the test, then there will be a white dot, a bright dot in your heart. And then until the heart becomes all dark or all bright with so many tests. The reward of the patient one who wins the test is proportional to the hardship itself. How the more is the hardship, the more is the reward for the patient. Waiting for the relief with patience and worshiping during the time where you're waiting for the relief with patience is among the best worship. Also, worship, its fitna increases immunity against harder fitna. And the harder fitna increases the immunity against harder and harder fitness. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam predicted that his ummah would be tested. And he said in the hadith that it's an obligation of every prophet to warn his people from what he knows. My ummah will be tested so much at the end of times. So at the beginning, right after the earlier centuries, after the Prophet Muhammad, the tests were not that hard. Well, they're not that many. But afterwards, the tests are harder and harder and harder. So there is a warning here. Never ask Allah for a test. Never ask Allah to test you. Always pray for no fitna. Always pray for a test, no test. Say, Ya Allah, don't test me. Ya Allah, protect me from tests. Ya Allah, never ask Allah for a test. Also, always pray for protection against the specific severe tests, such as the death of loved ones. Say, Ya Allah, don't try me by the loss of my child, for example. Things like that. And don't ever test yourself and run away from fitna as fast as you can. The fitna of women, for example, the test of women. You run away from the test of women or the fitna of women as you run away from the lion. Don't test yourself, just run. You might not be looking for a fitna, but it comes in front of you. So you're not looking, you're praying for security, you're praying that Allah doesn't give you a fitna, but it comes right in front of you. Okay, seek ways to prevent fitna. For example, marriage is a protection from fitna. So the shaitan says, when somebody gets married, the shaitan says, sort of, damn it, this guy protected one third of his religion from my influence just by getting marriage. Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the worship of Allah during the time of fitna is equal to making an immigration to me. See the people who are suffering around the world, and Rohingya Muslims, Uyghur Muslims, all these Muslims suffering. It's very difficult for them to pray when they are living in a state of trauma and pain and suffering. When we are struck by a calamity, we should increase the worship of Allah, of worship to Allah, especially if we pass the test, because the fitna is meant to make us better and stronger. We should give more optional prayers. We should give charities. We can recite Quran. We should race with one another in doing good deeds. Race into doing good deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, testing people, causing fitna to people, like this king who's testing the believers at the edge of the trench. If they believe in him, they are saved. If they don't, they are pushed in the trench that has a lot of fire. That's a blazing fire. So that is a fitna. And the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, fitna is worse than killing. To cause fitna to someone to leave his religion is worse than killing that person.
And slay them wherever ye find them, and drive them out of the places whence they drove you out, for persecution is worse than slaughter. And
this ayah is about the people who are fighting the Muslims and took the land of the Muslims. And Allah is ordering us to fight back and drive them out of our lands that they took, that they occupied. And then Allah says, a fight and fitna is worse than slaughter. And he translated fitna here, the translator translated fitna to persecution. There is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who said that there would be a time when a person will go to sleep as a believer and then wake up as a disbeliever, or wake up as a believer and go to sleep and as a disbeliever. Why? Because he sells part of his religion for the price of this world. He sells his religion for a piece of this world, a gain from this world. So, for example, he cheats, okay, selling his religion by cheating to earn money or to earn more money, for example, just as an example. So may Allah protect us from this situation, the situation of fitna. May Allah protect us from fitna.